Welcome back to another episode of Exterminatus Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eric. With me is Ray.
Hello.
And filling in this week is Josh.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. As always, we are your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. And we are just mere 3 weeks away from LVO. And by the time you're listening to this podcast, you're probably scrambling frantically to turn in your list because your list is due, I believe, is this Friday or is it Saturday that your list is actually due?
It's Friday.
This Friday, and you must enter it into the Best Scopes Pairings. Chances are, if you already registered the event, you've already gotten some reminder emails from not only from Best Scopes Pairings, from the greatest 40K player of all time, Frankie G and Papa. I'm so excited. It's like, oh, Frankie emailed me something. Wonder what's up. Oh, it's spam. Thanks, pal. I thought it was like a personal invite or something. It's like, nah, nothing. But anyway, love you, Frankie. Miss you. Anyway, so very excited. So make sure, yeah, if you haven't uploaded your list or haven't made a decision, you're running out of time. So get that up. Other key things to keep in mind, I kind of totally forgot about this. Thursday night at LVO, Games Workshop will be there to unveil some new stuff, which will be super exciting because you know what they unveiled today? Pretty close to nothing.
Whoa. So
it depends on how you look at it. So on Sunday night, we were all excited from all the hints and all the stuff about Gene Stealer Cult. So we were like, pre-orders will go up. Not this weekend. So maybe Monday we'll get all kinds of updates. Still no Gene Stealer Cult. So that's the long pause of Ray's upset, depressed, anguish. But then all of a sudden, a flash of news. And like, oh, this could be good. No, those stupid Funko Pops. My kids love those things. I do not understand the fascination with Funko Pops. It drives me nuts. It's like the obsession to change every trademark sci-fi thing into anime. I do not need to see anime Star Wars. That makes no sense to me. Anyway, maybe I'm the freak. So at that point, we're like, okay, is there nothing news? And slowly I start seeing stuff on web pages and Facebook pages. Hey, what do you think of this? And like, where'd you get this from? And finally, it was uploaded onto the Warhammer community page. We have new bolter rules, everyone.
Woo!
Yeah, the return of power armor. So just a quick synopsis of what those new bolter rules are, in case you've not heard them. They still retain their typical, if you're within, you know, they still rapid fire, if they do have the rapid fire rule. So if you're within half range, you get an extra shot, or double your shot, excuse me. So you end up being an extra shot from one shot to two shot. But there are some bolter variants that go from two to four shots. They also said if you are a Terminator, a Centurion, a Biker, or a Vehicle, you get double shots all the time because you are a stable shooting platform. But wait, don't order yet. There's more. If you have not moved this movement phase, you also can shoot double your rapid fire. So, quick question was, well, this is just for ordinary Space Marines? No. It is anything that has the bolter moniker in its name. So that's all the Space Marines, the Blood Angels, the Dark Angels, Death Watch. Yes, even Chaos Space Marines, including Thousand Suns and Death Guard. If it has bolt in the word of the gun, it gets these new special abilities. I'll give you a minute to absorb that for a second, because this is pretty big when you start stacking things on top of it. So, Ray, being you're all super excited about your Thousand Suns, what was your first reaction to this?
Well, at first I was actually confused. Because my first time reading, I was just, as I read, I got so excited. My first thought was, oh, they're just doubling everything. So all of a sudden, all these rapid-fire bolters are going to be shooting double as much as they used to.
And you would not
and
be alone.
And then I read it about two or three more times and got a little bit of help from Don and realized, oh, no, it's just that if you're a Space Marine, instead of the only reason that you get to shoot double being that they're the enemy is in half range, there's two other reasons you can do it. Which is actually still pretty good.
It is still pretty good, but yeah, you're not the only one. I made that same mistake.
Yeah, I was going to try and be cool and say, wait, so do my combi boulders get 8 shots? But I thought the same thing for the first minute, so. But then I read it, and then Aurelio pointed out that everyone's illiterate, so. Yeah. But it's still really cool.
Yeah.
I think it's great as a Thousand Suns player.
Yep, same. I finally have to buy Scarab Occult Terminators.
They were worth it before.
I know. But this is what's going to push it over the edge, I think.
As someone who has run as many as 20, they were worth it before.
Nice. I think Death Watch gets a lot out of it, too.
Yeah, it's interesting with Death Watch. It does apply to their special ammo. So, yeah, they already were the shining stars of power armor. I thought it was pretty interesting to see that they get this as well. So, yikes. A little scary there.
Mm-hmm. Think the... Oh, Ravenwing as well. All the bikes. Think we'll see biker armies running around?
Well, they just doubled their shots, and they have all that mobility, and then you also have that special detachment from Vigilus, so they can assault and fall back before they get the swing.
Oh, I don't remember. Were bikers one of the qualifying keywords?
Yes,
for that
was.
Third point. Okay.
Yep. I can't for the life of me remember which Land Raider it was. The one that has like all the. You know, it's like the sponson of 6 heavy bolters or whatever thing is on there.
Oh, yeah, the one with the hurricane bolters.
Hurricane bolters, that's the one, yeah. So I still don't think Land Raiders are worth it, but that just all of a sudden got really nasty. So I mean, I need to take another look at it, find a way to justify it.
Does that include vehicles, though?
Yes, all vehicles automatically double their shots with bolter weapons.
Think we'll see the comeback of G-Man parking lot?
Well, I don't know if you need it because there's a lot of other less expensive ones. My favorite is my favorite Chaos chapter of all time, Dark Angels. And they already have, if they stand still, reroll ones. So now you're getting twice as many shots and you get to reroll all those ones. And then if you flip them over to Fallen, if you wanted to do it that way, if you hook them up with Combi Plasma, they're now getting, they went from 5 shots if they're within close range or if they stand still. Because you remember that the bolter weapon can fire at the same time as the Combi weapon, and just at a -1 penalty. Mm-hmm. So now you're getting all these just raining of shots. I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, their land speeders or whatever they're called, those got a buff too then, didn't they?
I would assume so. I have to take a look at what those are, bolter weapons, because I don't think anyone ever took them that way.
I think the Corvus qualifies.
Yeah, I got to remember if their weapons are qualified as a bolter or not. I have to look at that again. The other one I'm thinking of is basic Devastator squads. You know, people took the heavy bolter for that stratagem to convert them into mortal wounds, but now they get those that extra shot. You know, it's all the time. It's like, And so that gets pretty nasty. And I should have to double check that because those are heavy 3, aren't they? Heavy bolters.
Not sure. Does this only affect...
It only affects rapid fire.
Rapid fire, right.
All right. I screwed up.
Yeah, I started thinking that way earlier. You got to remember, it's rapid fire only.
Nah, then I take it all back. Heavy bolters still disappoint. Anyway.
The excitement gets to us sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. But lots of neat. It's just mix and match and looking at all different ones. And after, here it is. Yeah, looking at bolter drills, the other one for Imperial Fists and the like. I was like, oh, okay. And the Crimson Fists from their White Dwarf update all of a sudden are getting, you know, not only extra, because you remember with them, they get the, who's that, on a roll of a 6, you get an extra shot. So now you're getting twice as many dice, twice as many sixes. Starts adding up pretty quickly.
Yeah. Now, do you think this is a step in the right direction for power armor, or is it just boosting things that aren't really seen on the table, but they still suffer from the same fundamental problems that keep them off the table?
I'm a little... You know, I'm rereading it here to make sure I'm covering my mistake about the heavy bolter. You're right. It is rapid fire weapons only. So, and it has to have the bolter keyword. So, no, it does not apply to hell blasters with plasma and stuff like that. It's getting there. The hardest part is I'm not a big fan of the stand and shoot, which may be closer to what Space Marines are supposed to be like. But that's, you know, losing that movement is a big thing. I have to see it on the table if it really puts them over the top. It definitely helps. I like that it's across the board, not just basic Space Marines, that it's all the successor chapters as well as the Chaos Space Marines. That's really cool.
I think you'll see it. You'll see it in Death Watch for sure.
Right.
The Terminators that are used, so Blight Lords. I mean, Blight Lords are with an 18-inch rapid fire range. They pretty much already have this, but. There's been times where I've been zoned out of the 18 by a few of the models, so having it boosted to 24 was really nice.
Right.
And then, of course, our good friend the Scarab Occult Terminator with Inferno Combi Bolters.
So those things definitely, yeah, you need to really take there's so much to relook at. You know, like, okay, let me think this through. However, the 2,000-point question of the day is, will this be allowed at LVO?
I think they already answered it. The answer was no.
Did they finally answer it? Because they haven't answered
yeah.
it for most of the day. So.
Yeah, I didn't see anything either.
I saw it on Facebook somewhere, so it could be wrong.
Yeah, there's certain people that are like, okay, it's not really a... They said no rule changes after a certain date. This is a rule change. It says, well, they said no codices. No one can seem to find the original. So... kind of a mix and match, but basically deafening silence for most of the day. And so we'll see if this, but my guess is it will probably not include that.
If I had to put money on it, I'd put it on no. Which I'm okay with, because I don't want Death Watch shooting up orcs more than they already do.
So anyway, so that is the news on all things Bolter, but that wasn't the only other leak of the day. So apparently, if you like the Crimson Fist getting an update in White Dwarf, there's more of that to come. It's not even February, but apparently there's already leaks of the March White Dwarf, which will include an update to Assassins. So your lovely four Assassins are supposedly getting some sort of redo a la Crimson Fist. Some quick updates. Not exactly sure what that entails, but supposed to make them be a little more easier to field on the table rather than their current Vanguard without a HU choice. Considering we haven't even gotten the February White Dwarf, I'm not sure what that will look like.
Well, I'm excited about it.
I kind of am. I mean, I still remember when Games Workshop came out with the codex for Assassins. It was like, you know, 12 pages. I'm like, how much did you charge for this? So it'd be nice. A simple White Dwarf update would be great. Quick and easy. Curious to see what they come in there. Still don't understand why only the Imperium uses Assassins. But anyway, that's another topic for another time.
Yeah.
Anyway. After the break, we'll go over your ITC GTs and major events from the past weekend, going over some of the top lists as we get closer and closer to LVO. Lots of practice games getting in. See you guys after the break.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
And we're back, and we start off our first GT from the past weekend in Rensselaer, New York. Freezing cold this time of year. Home of the engineers at RPI. At the Golden Sprue Cup GT 2019. And your top eight looks something like this. Daniel Woolmuth with Talarin comes in 8th place. 7th place, Conrad Motka with Drukhari. 6th place, Daniel Woods with Imperial Knights. 5th place, Eric Trock with Adeptus Custodes. 4th place, Chad Layton with Sawtuck Dynasty Necrons. Bringing in the 3rd place, Stephen Pamprin with Orcs. In 2nd place, Jim Vessel with Thousand Suns. And your 2019 Golden Sprue champion is none other than Sean Naden with Inari. Now, let's see if Sean's been rocking the same list. And it looks pretty similar to the list he's been running in the past, for those of you not familiar with it. He starts with the Inari Battalion, featuring the Incarn, Eldrad, Morgan Ra, 20 Guardian Defenders, 2 units of 8 Rangers, and a unit of 8 Shining Spears, all with laser lances, except for the Exarch with the Star Lance. And they're all Beeltan, with the Rangers being a Latok, and the Guardians being Ulafe.
That is a weird list.
The second, it gets weirder. Hold on, we're not done yet. Cursed Blade Battalion makes up the second detachment, 2 succubuses with Shardent and Impalers, a unit of 5 witches, and 2 units of 15, one with 3 Shardents, the other one 2 Shardents. And he finally rounds it out with a Harlequin Vanguard featuring a Troopmaster with an Embrace Fusion Pistol, and following the Dreaming Shadow Mask, 3 Death Jesters, and a Solitaire of Midnight Sorrow.
Very weird.
So interesting enough, right off the bat, I love how he mixes and matches different chapter tactics within each battalion. What is noticeably absent is the regular avatar. He usually brings that to make sure his guardians don't run away. So interesting, he brought Morgan Ra instead. And I do know his philosophy with the 2 witch bombs, that he feels that statistically at least one will make the charge on the turn they drop in from Deep Strike.
Yeah. And if they don't, they usually have the giant L's that they can drop into as well. So it's not too risky.
Not at all. Jim Vessel came in 2nd place with 1,000 Suns. His list looks something like this. And it starts with the battalion. HQ slot, he's got Ahriman and 2 Demon Princes of Zeech, all with wings and malefic talons. Interesting enough, one of those Demon Princes is his warlord. He's got 2 units of 10 cultists, followed by a 20-man unit of Zangors. The heavy support slot, he's got a Hellforge Scorpius with Scorpius Multi-Launcher and Combi Bolter. He then starts his 2nd battalion featuring a Changecaster, Poxbringer, and a Sloppity Bile Piper. 28 Horrors, 30 Plague Bearers, a 2nd unit of Plague Bearers, of course, rocked out with Icon and Instrument of Chaos. And then he rounds it out with an Auxiliary Support Detachment of 1,000 Suns, featuring an additional Demon Prince with talons, wings, and all kinds of goodies.
Seems pretty standard.
Got a little bit of everything that you're seeing in demon lists. So you got the Zangor blob. He's got the big plague bearers to hold things down. He's got the horrors to shoot things with. I'm just trying to figure out why he had to go for that 3rd demon prince in that auxiliary spot.
You can't fit another HQ into the battalion because he's got Armin, Demon Prince, Demon Prince. And then if he wants one more 1,000 Suns Demon Prince, he's got to... It's got to do with the getaway.
I just don't... I guess I'm trying to weigh out, is it that important to get that 3rd Demon Prince and lose the command point?
I mean, 3 Demon Princes is nothing to scoff at. And you have enough bodies that you're delivering them. I mean, he has, what, 60 Plague Bearers and 30 Pinks? Oh, yeah. So the 3 Demon Princes are getting where they want to go. And then when the game gets really grindy... Demon Princes pretty much, I think they win most character versus character fights just off of spells and stats alone and movement. And then you've got Armin in there as well.
Right. So lots of smite, lots of, like I said, lots of powers, lots of screens. You can't get to them until it's too late.
Yeah.
So interesting. So that was, he actually went 4-0-1. He went undefeated, but did end up tying his first game of the tournament.
It's only the
last
but
not least, third place. Yeah. Let's talk about orcs. Steven Pamprine starts off with a battalion of evil sons featuring a war boss and a weird boy. War boss is rocking a power claw and a shooter from the index. He's got Boss Knob with 29 additional orc boys, all shooter boys. Another unit of 30 shooter boys with a knob. And then, of course, oh, wow, not of course, only 10 Gretchen.
It is a weird list. Yep.
Then he starts a second battalion of Bad Moons featuring two weird boys, three units of 10 Gretchen, and a 15-man unit of Ludas. Interesting. And now, yeah, this is what you thought, gee, orcs are kind of cheap. You managed to squeeze in a brigade. So, yes, two battalions in a brigade in one list. The brigade is Death Skulls. All right, help me out, Josh. Death Skulls do what again?
Death Skulls get to reroll a hit and a wound.
Ah, okay.
And damage. Or, you know, it's the same as the Salamander's chapter tactic.
The one reroll per unit thing, right?
Yep.
Okay. So in the Death Skulls Brigade, he's got three big mechs, two of them on a war bike, one with a shock attack gun. The other two mech boys with on a war bike also have a custom force field and a custom mega blaster. He then has six units of 10 Gretchen. He's then got two units of commandos, followed by Mad Doc Krotstick. And he's got three units of defcopters. Looks like they're the bare minimums with twin big shooter and big bombs, as well as the unit of war bikers, Boss Knob and two war bikers with stick bombs. In the heavy sports slot, he's got three units of mech guns. These are all the smasher gun. All right, which one's the smasher gun?
Smasher gun is the one that you roll 2d6 strength, and if you roll higher than the opposing toughness, then you just automatically wound.
Good. All right.
And I don't think they need line of sight either. So they're pretty cool.
I'm just trying to. Yeah, this is one of those.
So, I'm actually in a war boss chat with Steve, and when he first sent this list to us, I mean, it's kind of like a think tank for orc lists, and I told him, I said, this is one of those lists that I look at and I think it's dumb at first, but it would probably table me if the first time I ever saw it was at a tournament. It's a very weird shooty orc list. I mean, all of his boys are shooters. He's got the relic shock attack gun, which, you know, sometimes it does absolutely nothing. Sometimes it does 25 mortal wounds to a knight. He's got the MSU def coptas, which they can come down. If they move over something, they can drop their def or their big bomb, which is an index option. And that actually does. You roll one dice for every model in the opposing unit up to 5, I think. So if you have a unit of 5 def coptas, you can roll up to 25 dice, and every 5 up is a mortal wound. So you're doing, you know, a third of those dice are doing mortal wounds. They help a lot with the magic boxes, and they help a lot with the Eldar matchup, just, you know, getting to those hard-to-reach Dark Reapers. And they're no slouches in combat either. They're strength 5, 2d3 attacks each, and they have 4 wounds apiece, so they're somewhat tanky as well. But yeah, it's just a really weird shooty list. I don't think it plays objectives very well, but it pretty much just tables people. When Steve's only loss was to Sean Naden, I think round 3, and he said that he lost to the clock. Because he just simply timed out, and then Sean was able to score points, but he was en route to tabling him at that point. So it's really weird, and it's really cool because Steve is I think he's a trendsetter with orc lists, because he's the guy who came up with the 90 boys, 30 commandos, which is actually one of the lists that I was considering running. I've played all my RTTs with it, And then he just completely flips the script and runs this weird Death Skulls brigade list out of nowhere. So it's really cool. Really shows the depth of the Orc Codex. Unfortunately, I'm going the route of probably 9 million boys, but that's for a later discussion.
I think it's hilarious. I think the hardest part about this list is staying focused during deployment. Yep. And I put down, all right, I'm deployed. Oh, you got 16 more units, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I'll hang back for a little bit. Yeah, I agree with you. If you've not seen this list ahead of time, I don't know what you would prior. I mean, it's easy to think it through now, but when you're at the table and you're like, oh, yeah, let's start the game.
It seems like something an orc guy would bring to a friendly, a guy who's never played in a tournament before. He just likes to yell wog and throw down a bunch of models and roll a bunch of dice. But there's definitely a method to his madness.
Absolutely crazy. All right, so that is your roundup of the Golden Sprue GT. Congratulations to all our winners. We now head to the West Coast, and this will be specifically to Aberdeen, Washington, home of grunge legends Nirvana and Kurt Cobain. And your top eight looks something like this. In eighth place, Rob Hartford with Prophets of Flesh. In seventh place, James Donis with Necrons. In fifth place, Jason Bird with Orcs. Fifth place, Mason Moore with Orcs. Fourth place, Sean Morgan with Asuriani. Third place, Charles Arnett with Orcs. Seeing a theme here. Second place, Gadgetan Jungle Fighters, Scott Carnes comes in second. And your winner, so we haven't heard from him in quite some time, but glad to see him back at the top spot. Colin Sherman with Inari. So, interesting enough, both Colin and Scott went undefeated, but Colin wins it by having 12 additional victory points. His looks something like this. His opening battalion is indeed Inari. He has Ivrain, two Spirit Seers, one being Beeltan, the other one Iandan. Two units of five Rangers that are Latok, one unit of eight Storm Guardians who are Ulathe, a unit of Wraithblades, nine each, which happen with Ghost Swords, who happen to be Iandan, Shining Spears with Exarch and Starlance, happen to be Sam Hain, and of course a unit of 10 Dark Reapers with Exarch Tempest Launcher, happen to be Ulathe. Second detachment is a Supreme Command detachment of Ulathe. He brings Eldrad, two Warlocks, and a Wave Serpent. And then his third detachment is a Trukhari Soup. His words, not mine. Features a Homunculus with a Venom Blade from Prophets of the Flesh, a Succubus with Chardonnette and Curse of the Cult of the Cursed Blade, and three units of five Kabbalite Warriors of the Black Heart.
Yeah, from what I heard, it killed a million orcs. But yeah, with the Wraithblade change, or the Wraithblade FAQ, I guess Colin, it looks like he went with Yanari, said, I don't need the Invuln. Just kind of went to town with that.
Wraithblade FAQ, did I miss something there?
Yeah, I didn't follow it too closely, even though I should, because there's going to be a lot of Eldar everywhere. You can't, it was something with the Vigilist attached, I think. But Wraithblades got
that thing. Yes.
Yeah, they got super, super good, and then they FAQ'd it, and now the hype is gone, but they're still okay.
Yeah, so he was trying to use the Vigilist specialty attachment on them. Okay. Which would double their attacks. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, Mason Moore also bringing a really shooty orc list with a million tank busters and a million lutas. So, seeing a lot of shooty orcs lately.
Yikes, I could see where that could play some orcs pretty good. All right. But interesting enough, I'm looking at the rest of this. I mean, I'm seeing the same trend we saw is this mix and match. No more is it, the Inari, you've seen this already a bunch of times where they have multiple craft worlds in the same formation. So you're okay with dropping the chapter tactic just as long as you get access to the stratagems.
Yep.
So it seems to be as the competitive season starting to wind down here into the, catamount LVO. It seems to be the way to go. Anyway, interesting. So the second place was Scott Cairns with Katagin Jungle Fighters, also going undefeated. And he is bringing, first off, a battalion of Astra Militarum. Surprise, surprise. He, too, is using one of the Vigilant. He's using the Vigilant Defiant Tempestus Drop Force. So a lot of Scions in this one. So he's got two Tempestor Primes with Power Fists and Command Rods. And one of them looks to be his Warlord, whatever, Team Leader, whatever it's called, the Warlord for that particular attachment. He's got three units of Mental and Tempestus Scions, two regular Scions, two special weapon Plasma guys, and then the Tempestor with a Plasma Pistol and Power Fist. He's got three units set up that way. Then he's got an elite squad of Tempestus Command Squads with four Plasma Guns, two Valkyries armed with multiple rocket pods and multi-lasers. He then squeezes in a brigade of Astra Militarum. This one, I bet you, is Katagin. And he also adds the Emperor's Artillery Company, Emperor's Wrath Artillery Company, excuse me. The HQ slot, he's got Colonel Ironhand Strachan, Commissioner Yark, and a company commander. I guess Yark is his answer to orcs. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 6, infantry squads. Two of them are the 9-person variety. The other ones are the 8-person variety with a mortar. It's got two astropaths and a Ministorum priest, three single armored sentinels in the fast attack slot, two basculas, and a heavy weapon squad of mortars. But wait, there's more. It's got a supreme command attachment of blood angels featuring two captains, both on jump pack with storm shield and hammers. Interesting stuff, and he's loaded them up to the gills with relics. So he's got the hammer ball, as well as the angel's wing in there. And he also threw in Mephiston just for a little extra fun. So basically, a list we've seen quite a bit, especially in the latter half of 2018, but with since drop of Vigilus, a new twist, a couple extra tools there.
Yeah, not looking forward to fighting, especially Yarik and Katachans. I took Katachans prisoner the other day with some orc boys, and I realized I didn't realize they were Katachans until it was too late. So, yeah. I don't know if we'll see a lot of Yarik at LVO, but we'll see.
You know, it's one of those, how do I describe this? Everyone's like, there's a lot of people predicting orcs are going to win LVO. You know, they need to be ready for orcs. But then I'm looking at these. Well, this tournament is kind of crazy. You got Charles Arnett coming in third with orcs. Mason Moore coming in fifth with orcs. Jason Bird coming in fifth with orcs. And Justin Witten came in ninth. He just missed the top eight with orcs. So you can't ignore the orc menace. And it's just one of those things where it's a lot like a knight list. If you don't prepare for it or don't have the tools for it, you're screwed. But when you have the tools for it, it's not too bad.
Yep. Absolutely.
Now, the real question is, who has tools for both in 2,000 points?
Oh, definitely definitely Eldar, and definitely, I would say, Imperial Guard.
So that's where I'm looking at that going, okay. Speaking of orcs, let's talk about Chuck Arnett coming in third place. His list looks something like this. A Bad Moons Battalion featuring a War Boss, a Big Mech with a custom force field, a unit of 30 boys, two units of 30 Gretchen, 15 Ludas, and a unit of 10 Ludas. Follows that with a Death Skulls Battalion featuring a Big Mech, a Weird Boy, and 30 Gretchen. And then finally rounds out the list with an Evil Sons Battalion, War Boss, Weird Boy, and 30 Slugger Boys. Three units of three Slugger Boys.
Yep.
All of them armed with three tank buster bombs.
Yep. I was actually talking to Chuck today. My list is very, very similar to his. 120 boys, million grots, 25 Ludas. And he actually almost tricked me into just making his list. because we were following the same logic path. And he's like, oh, why don't you just run this? And I wrote it out in Battlescar. I was like, wait, this is just your list. And he started laughing at me. So it was, yeah, it's very similar to Not Avadi's list that he's probably bringing to LVO. Or shall I say, Not Avadi's list is very similar to Chuck's list. I'm probably going to be running something similar. So be prepared. 90 to 120 boys plus stuff. Well, plus Ludas plus stuff. Yeah.
So those are our two tournaments from the past weekend. After the break, we'll talk to Josh in depth about his preparation for LVO. All right, welcome back. In our main discussion this week, we want to talk to our guest, Josh, and figure out how he's preparing for LVO.
Oh, boy.
Slightly different. Yeah, a little different meta in your local area, so getting ready is a little bit of a different process. And so, Ray, put me under the microscope. Now it's your turn.
All right. So the correct answer is that I've had my list locked in for 2 weeks now. Everything's painted and built, and I've been playing a practice game, you know, 4 times a week. The real answer is that I'm actually trying not to get sick because I know the flu is going around. I usually get sick like 3 or 4 times a year, and I haven't been sick in like 8 months. So I'm way overdue right now. And my wife is actually sick. So kind of hard to avoid getting sick there. But yeah, so I actually went through a weird funk. Well, there's been a lot of RTTs since the Orc decks. So I've been playing those, a 3-0 first place, and then some 2-1s, just losing to the same guy who plays Knights. And I'm refusing to build a specifically Orc-tailored anti-Knight list for him because I want to have that, you know, that generalness, I guess. But yeah, I did put in 4 solid games this week. The list spiral, I'm sure you guys saw my chart where the list just changes every 30 seconds. Well, that's been exacerbated. It's not happening in the last 3 days before the tournament. It's happening now. But actually, 20 minutes before we got on to the podcast, I think I locked in my list. Yeah, so I actually wrote out a study guide of all the armies that you could potentially face at LVO, and I ended up just writing out every single army in the game, pretty much, or every single competitive option. So, yeah, my plan is I think I'm going to, well, I need to get some practice games in with the list that I have locked in right now. I've played every part of it, every piece of it. I've played the style of it, but I haven't played the actual list itself. So I'm going to try to get some practice games in with that. And then just really go through, you know, different Eldar matchups. I get, you know, Dan Olivas. Or is it Olivas or Olivius? I only know it from reading it.
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest.
And every time I see him, I just call him Dan. So you know how he keeps telling everyone to have your notebook of, you know, write down every match you've done, what you've learned, what happened, what went wrong, write out all your deployments, write out, you know, your potential matchups, your potential mission and deployments. I think that's a good mental exercise. It's a lot like studying for an exam, I think. The problem with me is that I kind of winged my way through college. So preparing for exams isn't actually my strong point. So I've been doing that. I will be doing that. Yeah, you know, I'm talking to a lot of Orc players, a lot of good Orc players. Most of us are pretty much bringing, you know, some kind of variation on Codex Luda. Some of them are bringing, you know, really cool, interesting lists, you know, like Pamprin just brought his weird shooty brigade. You guys know Ben, he's actually bringing a weird freebooter list, which I think is going to catch a lot of people off guard.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Yep. Yeah, we all started, you know, theory crafting some freebooter lists. We're like, the trait is good, but it's hard to pull off. But there's a list out there that can do it, and I think he's found one of them. So I actually got trashed by it the other night. It beats up the Orc Mirror really hard with just oppressive amounts of DACA. So I think that matchup is in his favor, especially, you know, the Orc Mirror matches is pretty lame to play, but with his list, it seems like an easy win. So yeah, that's pretty much been my preparation. I still have to paint a bunch of Ludas. I actually painted 40 Grots and 10 Ludas yesterday, but it's not as impressive as it sounds because they were already three colored and everything. I just needed to add the finishing touches to them. It's been kind of a slow grind there. I thought they were more done than they were, and then I looked at them. I said, "Oh no, I better start painting."
The hobby never stops.
So yeah, it never stops. Yeah, after LVO, I want to experiment with a bunch of weird orc lists. But yeah, as someone told me today during my list spiral, they were like, "You're not going to come up with the next greatest thing 5 days ago." So you need to play what you've been practicing or something that you know pretty well. So I feel I know it works pretty well. And I, with this list, I've played all the parts of it. I just have to put it together now and go through all the matchups. All this preparation, and you guys will probably see me haunting the lower tables as a 2-4 guy. So if I see you down in the depths, hello. And whoops, I messed up somewhere. yeah, but I'm hoping for a 4-2, hopefully a 5-1, hopefully a 6-0. But, you know, that's everyone's going for that. It's a tall order, especially, you know, when I've been in the game for a year. But I'm cracking at it. I'm working at it.
So, first time going to LVO? Second time.
Second time going to LVO.
So
yeah, LVO.
So what would you do differently in terms of show up? You're there at Bally's day one, you know, or day zero, the day before the tournament. What would you do differently?
Well, LVO 2018 was like my third tournament ever. No, it was my fourth tournament ever because I'd started the game September, played you guys that January in like my third tournament. Met Dawn's 10 Blight Lords and then played LVO.
So you're prepared. What's the problem?
So comparing where I was as a player back then to now, I mean, it's a huge change, obviously. I mean, we've all improved greatly. My list is pretty much the same as last year's, though, which is funny how it's kind of come full circle despite the codex. What I do differently? Well, I'd prepare like I am now before I kind of went in just YOLO. It's LVO. Here's what I think I know what I'm doing. Understanding the other armies a lot better, so you're not caught off guard by anything. I regaled you with one of my Tau stories during the break, because that's always been a tough matchup for me because there's no Tau players locally. But I always end up playing Tau at LVO. And I think that they're really going to be a dark horse at LVO just because there's going to be so many orcs. And if you don't know how to outshoot Tau, that's a really hard matchup, especially if you're charging into, you know, 10 shooting phases from them. So, yeah, I guess the studying that I'm doing now, which is what I am doing, understanding other armies, getting better sleep the night before. I'm in better shape. Well, actually, no, that's probably not true. It's a grind. You're going to be standing for 12 hours straight playing games. And if you're pushing 200 plus models, that gets, and I'm going to clock every game as well, because I don't want to screw anyone out of points, myself or my opponent. So getting better sleep, probably eating better food. It's being better prepared physically and mentally. And not getting surprised when I see a weird list. I think my first my first match last year was 8 or 9 Eldari flyers, and I said, what the hell is happening?
So what did you not bring last year that you plan on bringing this year? Anything?
Well, last year, Orcs just had the Index. I'm not bringing the Super Scorch of Big Tracks. I'm not bringing Docka Jets. I think my list is... It's pure infantry, so if the opponent has las cannons or something, there's nothing that makes me happier inside than watching someone shoot blasters at Grots. So I'm definitely not bringing any kind of vehicles. Bringing a better list for sure. And I'm bringing the Codex. So hopefully, you know, Codex Luda puts me in its backpack and carries me to victory.
What kind of, outside of your normal, your army itself, your army list, the dice, if you got psychic cards, is there anything else that you try to have on you when you play a game, especially at a large tournament?
I don't know if this is actually a thing, but I guess a different strategy or a better attitude, I guess. I'm definitely playing a lot more conservative than last year. I mean, last year, you know, that was the age when you could deep strike turn one, and my list was, you know, 30 Storm Boys, 20 Commandos, and I was jumping 30 boys in your face with 20 Commandos and 30 Storm Boys. Just going all out, and then if that plan fails or they screen it right, then you just lose. So strategy-wise, definitely, you know, working out, okay, if this doesn't work, if dice fail me here, will I be in a good position? And if the answer is no, then I just scrap that plan entirely. So definitely bringing a different mindset going in.
All right.
Hopefully it pays off. We'll see.
We'll be able to tell in a few weeks.
Yeah. If I'm 2-4, I'll start mashing that F on the keyboard. Pay respects to my 40K career. No, but I mean, win or lose, it's going to be a lot of fun. So made a lot of friends in the 40K community in the last year. So worst case scenario, I go 0-5, but I get to hang out with you guys.
There's a win.
That's a win.
It's a win for everyone. You mentioned talk. It does.
As cheesy as that sounds.
The social aspect, because there's a ton of people who... And that was the hardest part with last year, was so many people I knew from so many different areas. And it was like, all right, let's all have dinner together. And it was like, okay, party of 23. Yes, right here. Exterminatus party of 23. And I ended up talking to the same two people I talked to all the time, because those who I was sitting next to. I was like, oh, man. So
I was so tired last year. I just went home and crashed, woke up, did day two. I was signed up for the doubles tournament on Sunday. I didn't even go to LVO on Sunday. I was so dead. I am playing in the Long War doubles, so that'll be fun.
You're a glutton for punishment.
Yeah. I mean, I love 2v2. 2v2, I think, is a really underrepresented part of the game. There's just so much weird stuff you can do.
Are they doing any alternate missions for that, or are they just kind of...
I think they are. It's alternate missions, and the scoring is all... it's like 70% theme and only 30% battle score.
Oh, so they're like Adepticon. Okay, cool.
Yeah, but I didn't build anything for it. I'm sure Saturday night I'm going to be scrambling for the models, because the list that we have planned is pretty funny. It's pretty fun and funny, and I think it's competitive too in its own way. So, yeah. It's Brother a million demon princes.
Right. Earlier on, you were talking about the use of social media, talking to other players, and seemed to be getting a lot of mileage out of that. I was trying to do the same. One of the biggest problems I run into is trying to differentiate knowledgeable advice from just chaff or just spouting opinion that no one's ever tried on the table.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. If you want to hear the dumbest people on Earth ask competitive 40K anything. that part sucks. I mean, shameless plug, I am part of Nick's Knights of the Table Pro. For, you know, listening, I've learned a lot there. I know I say it every time. A lot about other armies. He does a clinic. You can ask a million questions. I ask way too many questions about what's this, what's that. But I mean, that's how you get better, you know?
Right.
So, and everyone there is, they're trying to improve. And the amount of stupid things that are said is almost zero. As opposed to, you know, some guy actually in the Thousand Suns Facebook group the other day was like, why does everyone like Zangors? They're terrible. And he did, I mean, you know, a few months ago, everyone would be like, yeah, Zangors suck. Oh, long live the humble. I'm blanking. Long live the normal, whatever the normal troop is called. Rubrics. Yeah.
The rubric.
It's like, oh, people just aren't good enough to run rubrics. But that guy got flayed alive. Everyone was like, yo, this is why Zangors are good. And the guy's list is like Forge Fiends and Magnus. He's like, oh, I'm going to crush all the people I play in my garage with this. So, yeah. But finding good groups is pretty hard. I think if you just talk to people who are, you know, highly ranked and stuff, eventually you become friends, or you just, you know, talk 40K. You know, we have the War Boss chat with a lot of really good orc players. So we bounce ideas off of each other and whatnot. You guys have access to Don and Dan in person.
Yeah, our team, that's what I'm saying. Our team is a huge help. And that's where I'm starting to see the value of some of these social groups, because I was not part of a team when I lived on the East Coast. So it's just one of those, you know, we got together with friends online and we kind of talk it out. And but then you have to go and play the game by yourself, and you're like,
oh yeah,
what do I do with this matchup again? And whereas, you know, having a team all together, it's a huge advantage. And so yeah, and I'm definitely a learn by doing type of guy. I sit there and I read some of the stuff and I go, there's no way the hell that works. And then I get it on the table. I'm going like, yeah, I was right.
Yeah, speaking of playing by yourself, I might do the Steve Pamprin method. I'm sure you guys have seen pictures of him, you know, with cardboard cutouts on a hotel floor, moving pieces and playing games. I might do, if I can't find a practice partner or if it's late, I might whip out some of the chaos and the orcs and play a game against myself. But
I haven't gotten that far yet, but I definitely do like matchups. Okay, what would I do with this? Like more like the chess problems you see in the Sunday paper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I need to get from here to there. Like I'm deployed. I know he's going to put Dark Reapers in this corner. How am I going to get there? You know, and just rather than doing the whole army, just doing like a smaller section, you know, what's the best way of getting there and odds wise. And it makes it easier, especially with the dice app. You can get through a lot of permutations pretty quickly.
Quick question, Eric. Mm-hmm. What's the Sunday paper?
Back in ancient times, prior to the internet, men used written word and distributed on a papyrus-like material. Sunday was noted as the largest of the such publications. It became a family activity to actually sit and share the publication and share knowledge as they each read a section.
Wow. That seems archaic. Well, I'm old now too, so.
Yeah.
Got my old man.
The archaic thing is, yeah, one of my first jobs was to hand deliver this newspaper to each of the neighbors in my neighborhood. So
like Amazon Prime.
Yeah, but not with a drone, which would have been cool. Instead, I was on the back of my Huffy trying to go through the snow in the wintertime. So,
uphill both ways?
Uphill both ways. It sucked. I wish I could. I actually almost got hit. Some guy spun out of control, smashed into the house where I was delivering the paper. Luckily, he had like a step up, you know. So, you know, 5 more feet and I would have been squashed. Would have been
jeez. Fun. I was like, well, yeah, I'm glad you weren't squashed.
I'm glad I wasn't squashed or killed by the random dogs that attack and all that stuff. Anyway, the perils of a paper route behind us.
Yep. Yeah.
Any other last minute thoughts on preparation for LVO?
Whenever I message Don, he's either really helpful or he's not helpful at all. I'll bounce an idea and he'll say that's dumb, and then he'll send me like this weird ass Don Hammer list, and I'm just like, man, Don, why do I talk to you sometimes? No,
sometimes,
but
he doesn't give you what you want, he gives you what you need.
Yeah, that's true. Where is Don anyway?
He is being an adult tonight, so
lame.
Yeah, he'll be back. Well, so
Don, I miss you. See you on Friday.
Yeah, we'll see you on Friday.
Yep.
Speaking of Friday, what's going on Friday? We'll talk about that right after the break. Welcome back after the break. Quick look at your ITC top 10 with only 3 weeks left in the season. In 10th place, Stephen Pamperin, who we talked about earlier with his orc list, hovers in 10th place. 9th place, Archon Skari. In 8th place, Joshua Death with Death Guard, at least for the moment. I love switching his lists around quite a bit. 7th place, Brandon Grant. 6th place, Andrew Gagneau. 5th place, Matthew Root. 4th place, Nick Rose. 3rd place, Trent Northington. 2nd place, from London, Mike Porter. And your current leader for the ITC is none other than Nick Nottavati, holding down the top spot, but with only 130 points separating top to bottom, and with there's plenty of movement that can happen in the prepper. Ugh, I can't talk. Plenty of opportunities with all the tournaments coming up next week. Ray, what tournaments do we have next week?
Oh, we have a bunch. Going down the list, we've got the Fargo Badlands Open GT at Little Big Wars in Fargo, North Dakota. We've got Athoria's First Last Chance GT at Athoria Games in Mesa, Arizona.
The Canadian Josh, you're going to be there, right?
Shield Major.
All right,
we'll bring in the battle wagon of bros. gonna try and take all of the top 8 spots from you guys.
Bastard.
All right, we got the Canadian Shield Majors at Multizone Gatineau in Gatineau, Quebec, and also the Canadian Shield 40K weekend happening at the same place, same weekend. There's the New Year Knockout at the Geekery in Shawnee, Kansas. The Warhammer 40K GT Wait What at X Planet Games in Mississauga, Ontario. There's the War and the Warp 1 in Irthingborough, England. And the Barnyard Brawl Grand Tournament in Greenville, South Carolina.
That is a lot of events. That's going to take up most of our show next week. Additional updates will be seen on our Facebook page, so take a look for there. In the meantime, I want to thank Josh for coming on, helping us out this week.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And for our regular crew, we'll be back next week. So my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And this has been the Exterminatus Podcast. Thanks for listening.